Stupid. Here we go. Oh boy, Lord forgive me. So she comes in Joshua chapter 2, she hides these men. She tells the king she doesn't know where they are. She's lying. But we'll see that God accounts what she does to her as righteousness. Remember, Abraham was in the same boat. He lied constantly about his wife. Oh, she's my sister. Instead of telling the truth about it, but accounted those other things as righteousness and moved him on. Certainly forgiveness was there. He didn't hold him accountable for those things. He brought forgiveness to them. And she basically does the same thing. And it came to pass in verse 5 about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. And she said, whither the men went, I don't know. I wot not. I love those words. Pursue after them quickly, for you shall overtake them. So she kind of throws the trail off, right? She gives them another trail to follow. And the king follows the wishes of a harlot in his kingdom, which is amazing to me that he had no discernment in that area. Or no check in his spirit. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, these things that they would use to make linen and other materials and to use the other parts of those things. And up on the top of the house where a lot of the work was done for the housing. Remember, she's on the wall. Part of the house is just overlooking the wall here, out those windows, out those things. And so she had laid them in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them. So the king sent men out to pursue after them, and they went the way of Jordan. So they're going out, they're going east because they want to come to the river and beat the guys there before they get back across and back into their army, which they wouldn't go over. And as soon as they which pursued them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them, under the roof. And she said to the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. I know what God has done. I know that he's given you the land and that your terror is fallen upon us, that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Remember, the Lord told Moses this, that they were going to be a terror to the land. They were going to be the ones that were going to take over. And that terror, God has gone forward in front of them, and these people are afraid of Israel. They've heard that they have come out of Egypt. Their notoriety has come before them. They've defeated Pharaoh and his army. Remember, the Red Sea has fallen upon him. So they've heard all of this, and they're scared. And that's amazing to me. He tells his people to be strong, be of good courage. And he puts fear upon the enemy. And when there's fear in the enemy, one little thing is going to set them off. And it's going to cause mass evacuation. It's going to cause mass destruction of their land. Because remember, God said that the iniquity of the land has come up before him, and he's given the land to Israel. He's already given it to them. And so this is how he's going to evacuate the land. They're going to come in and destroy, and many are just going to leave and just run across borders and get out of the land. I know that the Lord has given you. God's speaking to her already as a harlot. We think, well, prostitutes can't get saved. Oh, yeah? Is one sin worse than the other? Scripture tells us that if we break one point of the law, we've broken all of the law. And so there is no difference in the sin. It's just what God is going to do in the heart as he ministers to them. And that your terror has fallen upon us, and all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. They're afraid of you. Tells us this in Matthew 21, verse 31. Says, I'll pick it up just a little bit earlier in verse 28, and he says, "But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go to work this day in my vineyard.' And he answered, said, 'I will not.' But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he said, 'I'll go, sir.' And he went not. So whither of the twain of them did the will of his father? And they say unto him, 'The first.' And Jesus said unto them, 'Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and harlots will go into the kingdom of God before you.'" And we see way back here in Joshua that he's already got one of the harlots in the kingdom. And we'll see later on, she's already in the line of Jesus. He's telling the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious men, you know, who's more faithful, you or the harlots? And he comes up and he says, sometimes the harlots are more faithful than you. She was faithful to keep these men, faithful to direct them in the right way, faithful to help them and minister to them. And boy, how encouraging that is for you and I, because we came from horrible backgrounds, most of us. And yet, are we in the kingdom? Amen, we're in the kingdom. And one day we're going to be with all of them that are mentioned in Scripture. And what a glorious thing that is. But he tells the scribes, the Pharisees, the publicans, and the harlots who believed him, who trusted him, are going to be in the kingdom before them. Amazing whom God chooses and who we would choose. And yet God sees the heart, doesn't he? And he looks at the heart and knows that there's belief there that there isn't in religious ceremonies and religious people. The heart of Jesus has to be there, not a religious heart. So he goes on and they say to him she tells them, "For we have heard," we meaning the whole city, "have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt." We've already heard those things. They come to our ears, the message that's there, in what you did to the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. Amazing stuff that these people are now coming into the kingdom. They're hearing those things, and they're terrified of those things, and yet the believers that are there are going to enter into the kingdom. Hold your place here. Go to Hebrews. Certainly the Hall of Faith, that we call it. We see her name, but it's good to have that understanding and to just make that connection that's going to be there. Hebrews chapter 11. We see her name here. We see her in the line of Jesus. We see her just being in that place of just being accounted worthy because of what she had done for Israel and for those people. Let's just back up a couple of verses here. Let's pick up at verse 28. Can't do that. Let's pick up at verse 23 just for context sake. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child or a goodly child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. Remember what the king commanded here in Jericho. If anybody has those people, we're going to come, we're going to kill them because we got to get rid of them. His commandments were to keep those people out. Isn't that the commandment of the world now from Satan? Kick those people out, destroy them, get rid of them, because they're causing damage. And the governments of the world are following suit. They're entering in and saying, yeah, we need to get rid of Christianity. We'll start by getting rid of the Bibles in school, and then we'll take the Ten Commandments off the walls. We'll knock all statues down. We'll make all history change. We'll make a new history, and it'll be ours. But they haven't taken into account that God's going to destroy all of that. We, by faith, live in this place knowing that God is going to take care of us. Do you trust him for it? We see the laws coming down. We see the direction the country's going. We see the direction our state's going. We know it's not great. But is God still taking care of us? Amen, he is. Is he going to continue to take care of us? And we all shout, amen. But do we trust it in the midst of things? That's going to be the telltale signs. He's going to prove us. Because when he tells us something, he doesn't do it without proving us, without showing us where our hearts really are. You want to walk with me by faith? Yes, Lord, I'll walk with you by faith. And then he brings a trial first thing. And what do? We faint. But it's just to show us that we need to go on. Yes, Indy. So Moses, they weren't afraid of his parents weren't afraid of the king's commandments, which is amazes me, because they were certainly under the threat of death right away. But by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. When he came of that age, when things were going to change in his life, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Just think of the notoriety. You know, we see the change in command in England now, don't we, with the Queen dying, and there's Prince Charles in all his regalia, you know, just, and we heard last night, when he goes to visit somewhere, there's a van in front of the entourage, and they take his whole bedroom, the pictures of family, the bed, the mattress. There's a van in front of them going to the house that he's going to visit, because they set up his bedroom in that house. He's got all this stuff. And yet we look at Moses and he says, I don't want any part of that. I'll live in a tent in the desert. Amazing, isn't it? What the world shows us and what God shows us. We're different. Things are going to be different. We aren't going to go with all the comforts at home, but we're going to go with God's presence. What does Prince Charles have? He has the presence of his home going to another place. Does he have the presence of God in the midst of it? It's not guaranteed. They don't stuff God into the trailer with the bedroom set and take him with him. Can't do that to God. We may look different. We may not look as rich as that. But you know what? We got more riches that are going to be eternal than he'll ever have here on this earth. A bedroom set is nothing compared to the mansion we've got coming. You know, God probably knows what we need for comfort when we get into our room at the mansion. It's going to be more glorious than Charles could ever pack into a trailer. It's so cool. It's just so neat to watch it. You just think of those things as you see them, and it's just like, oh, Lord, thank you. So he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction. Instead of a van carrying a bedroom set, he said, I'd rather choose affliction because I know it's going to be more glorious on the other side. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Now, how do we put this together? Was Moses there before Christ? Yeah. And yet scripture says he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. What did God show Moses up on that mountain? Oh my goodness, I think it's more than what we know of, more than what we can think of. The prophets seeing things so far in advance. You think of John writing Revelation, seeing the end of the world coming and seeing all these things and yet knowing the end result. How did he know it? Because God showed him. We think, oh Lord, what do you want to show us as we walk through this world? be open always to receive the things of the Lord. Not as bad pizza or bad dreams, but maybe God is showing us something that goes well beyond anything that we can think. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. And yet the wrath of the king oversaw most of the known world at the time. And he said, hey, it's nothing compared to what God is going to give me. Oh, that's knowing the Lord. And not just knowing it, but then standing on it as truth. Oh, what has God showed us? We've got 66 books that shows us what God is going to bring us. What he's going to bring us to and what he's going to bring us into. And what he can do in the midst of it. And do we really trust it? Oh, Lord, help our hearts. He forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He endured because he saw one that was invisible to the eyes of those who were unbelievers. Oh. And you and I get to have that same vision of seeing him who's invisible to the eyes of the world. We see Jesus high and lifted up. How do we see him? By the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why we encourage you and keep getting after you every week. Get in the word, stay in the word, and don't lose the word. Because that's what's going to give you visions of the invisible. And strength enough to stand for what is visible. We see guns pointed at us and prisons waiting for us. But you know what God sees? God sees us sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ugh. And we can just not fear what that's going to bring to us, because we fear one that's greater than what the world can bring is fear. And do you see the spiritual versus the physical in the midst of that? Oh yeah. Because spiritually we see us sitting in heavenly places in Christ, but the world wants to put us away and kill us. But you know what? They can't kill us. Because we're eternal beings. We're born again of God's Spirit. We can't be killed because we're eternal. Oh, we'll suffer a little bit here. I know you guys know some of the suffering. You fall out of bed every day. There's some suffering going on. But what's eternal is greater than that. Just, oh, thank you, Lord. Through faith, he kept the Passover. And the sprinkling of blood, the blood was what was going to bring forgiveness, to bring us to that place of entering in, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do, so were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. It wasn't because they knew all the conditions that were going on. They knew how to stomp at the right place when they went around the wall of Jericho. You know, they had no clue. They were just sitting there going, probably, we're pretty foolish. We're walking around this wall, blowing our trumpets, going, Yahoo. You know, they couldn't even say anything. He said, don't talk when you're going around the wall. But on the last day, when you walk around seven times, then yell, because God has given you the victory. How did they do that? By faith. It wasn't because they knew all the logistics and they knew all the where the cracks in the wall were and that it was going to fall down. God just knocked it down. God, you're really going to do this? Do you think I'm able? If I tell you to do it, do you think I'm able to do it? Because sometimes we can look pretty foolish, can't we? If God doesn't come through. But you know what? The things of man are foolishness to God. He's got better ways. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Seven, the number of completion, the number of perfection. He completed the work, knocked the wall down. Here, I won't even make you knock it down with bulldozers and clean it all up. I'll just knock it down for you. How's that? You just make sure you're out of the way when it falls. And isn't it amazing? It all fell inward so that they didn't get crushed by any of this stuff falling. God, how do you do that? We have guys that are trained in all this, so when they blow up buildings, they blow in the right direction, don't they? God says, don't worry about it. I got it covered. When it comes down, it's all going to go inward, and you aren't going to get affected by it. You just go find Rahab and get her out of there, because she's one of us. Just really, Lord. And we think, how do you do that? Have you been trained in that, Lord? So who do you think I gave wisdom to for those people to knock down a wall to do it in the right direction? I gave him the wisdom, because I already know how to do it. There's nothing I don't know. And if he knows all those things, don't you think he can take care of you right now in your doubts and your fears? He says, oh yeah, I got it covered. I can take care of your family. I can take care of your relatives. I do better at it than you do. Just let me lead. Let me guide. By faith, verse 31, Rahab the harlot, all that just to get to this, huh? By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. She ministered to them in peace. Here's a woman, the whole city's afraid, the king's afraid. She's not afraid. She received the two spies in peace, with peace. Because she had the peace of God. You can't have the peace of God without first knowing the grace of God. And you can't know the grace of God without coming to a place of accepting him for who he is. She had peace. She had peace from God and she had peace with God. Just as you and I do. Because you and I are entering into situations that we don't know what the outcome is going to be, but we have peace in the midst of it. And it's just such a sweet thing that we can enter into some of those, and he trains us. Remember when I went into the hospital with COVID, and Kath was telling me she had a peace that I was coming home. Oh, good. How come he gave you peace? And I'm sitting there just wondering, where am I going to end up in all this? But God was just gracious in the midst of that. And it's so cool because that's just training us to go into deeper storms with the same peace that we have in these little ones. Just, oh Lord. Rahab the harlot perished not with them. So others perished, Rahab didn't. Lord, okay, you knocked down the whole thing of Jericho. The walls are thick. There's people up on walls. There's houses on walls. There's huge stones that are going to be falling down, and you get to protect Rahab and all her family, it says. What if they lived in different places? Guess who knew where they lived? God. He knew how to protect them as the walls fell down. It didn't keep them from the wall falling down where they were, but what he did do was protect the people in the midst of it. God, how do you do that? It's not for us to understand because his ways aren't our ways. But if he says that, what is he saying to you and I? The world's going to fall apart. Can I protect you from being part of the casualty of that world falling apart? Yeah. You know that most of Christianity is so afraid of things that are going on that they have no peace whatsoever? You and I, as born-again Christians, should have that place where we can have a peace no matter what war comes, no matter what earthquake comes, no matter what storm comes, to have peace to go in the midst of it and know that God's going to take us out of it and get us through it. He took Rahab and her whole family out of it. How do you do that, God? That is amazing. But you know what? We got a big God. How big is your God? Do you know he's able to do it? He's going to get bigger and bigger in our eyes the more he ministers to us and shows us all the things that are to come about. Yeah. He knows I'm going to shoot that squirrel. So back in Joshua here, it's amazing that she knows all of this. I know that the Lord has given you the land and that your terror has fallen upon us and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. We've heard how he's dried up the waters. We've heard how you've killed the kings. And as soon as we had heard those things, our hearts did melt. That was God going before him. Didn't he tell Joshua that I'm going to go before you? And how did he go before him? He went before him and gave the people of the land fear so that they would just surrender and give in. Wow. And not fight as hard as they knew if they would be those conquerors. We've heard, and as soon as we heard, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more any courage in any man. He tells Joshua, be strong and of good courage, and he looks at the other people and said, you're going to have no courage. What a difference between people groups, isn't there? Those that knew God had courage. Those that didn't know God had no courage. We look at some of these people and we get intimidated by them because they have so much money and so much power and so much strength. And yet we know the one who's going to give them a lack of courage is going to say they're going to have no courage when things come for their own lives. We think that because they're making laws and things that they have more going than we do. But you know what? The Christian has more on the ball than they will ever have. Trust him. Trust him no matter what's coming down the pike here. Sometimes we get scared of those things, but we really don't have to. It tells us this in James chapter 2. I'll just read it to you, verse 25. Likewise, also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way, she was justified by her works. What came first, the faith or the works? The faith. The works was just a result of the faith that God had already given her. What was the rest of the city in? They were in fear. They couldn't make decisions. They couldn't even find people that were there. They couldn't work out the details of how they were going to stay alive. But she had faith, and it was shown by her works. It wasn't that the works gave her faith. The faith gave her the works to do. And that should be for you and I too. We can't go in and do works for God and expect to be justified. It's a result of God already working in our hearts and our lives. That's why we've got to be born again first. That's why we've got to seek him to know what the works are that we're supposed to do, whether it's prayer, whether it's doing dishes, whether it's witnessing on the street, whether it's just being a good mom or a dad. It's going to be shown by our relationship with him as it comes about, and those works are going to show that we have faith. Yeah. And as soon as we heard, we melted. We were done. And she said, there wasn't any more courage in any man because of you, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Look at how she's grown in her faith already. She knows he's God of heaven above and in all the earth. How does she know that? She met with God. But she was in a pagan land. Yeah. What do you think he can do for us in a pagan land? He can give us the same strength, the same courage to say those things in a horrible time. He's the Lord your God. He's God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father, my mother, my brethren, my sisters. She probably could have kept going on, and my good neighbors, and my father, my mother, my brother, and my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. She's counting on them. She's looking to them as to be the ones to deliver her. She knows that ultimately it's going to be God, because he's God in heaven above and earth beneath. And she said, he's your God too, so you're going to do this. We know you're going to come in and take the land, but deliver us out of this mess. We know ultimately God is going to deliver us eternally, but in the midst of this time, you're going to be the representatives that God is going to use to save us. The trust that she has in these guys. And she's going to let them go. Instead of hanging on to them and hanging on to their feet and saying, you can't go until you get me out of here, she's saying, I know you're going to come back and deliver us in the midst of this. Did she know the walls were going to fall down? Probably not. But she trusted God that he was going to deliver her from death in the midst of that. Lord already showed her. So give me a true token that you're going to save us alive. In verse 14, and the men answered her, our life for yours, if you utter not this our business. And it shall be when the Lord has given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Notice the faith that these guys have. They don't say, if the Lord delivers the land. He says, when the Lord delivers the land. They had a faith and a trust in God that God was going to do it. When he has victory in this area, we'll come and get you. They already know he's going to be victorious. Do you know that your God is going to be victorious over the whole world? And that Jesus is going to return and come back and grab the church in the rapture and then step down on planet Earth at his second coming and rule and reign over the earth? Can you tell people that with a surety, not with questions in your own heart, but with a surety? I know Jesus is going to be victorious. He's already won my heart. Then she let them down by a cord through the window. Amazing. She lets them out of the wall and ties a rope to them and lets them out. The cord of safety. But look at what she also does. And I think it was the same color rope. At least for me, that's what it comes to. For her house was on the town wall, and she dwelled upon the wall. And she said to them, get ye to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days. And three days, 3 nights in the belly of the whale, 3 days, 3 nights in the tomb. Whenever there's a three, something big is going on. She said, go hide yourselves in the mountain. What is she doing? She's sending them a different direction than the soldiers were going. They were going east towards the river. The mountain was behind them. They were going west. They went west while all the soldiers to kill them went east. We think, well, that's a dumb way to go because all our people are on the east. He goes, no, that's the safest place to go. You go more inland, deeper into the territory of the enemy. And yet there's going to be safety in the midst of that. Wow. How'd they know that? God. When you're led by the Lord, the things that he's doing may not look like the best things going on in the world, but you know what? The result is always good if we walk in obedience. Stay there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterwards may you go out your way. And so the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made to swear to us. Behold, when we come into the land, you shall bind this line of scarlet thread in the window. This line that she had let them out with, probably a scarlet cord. It had to be long enough for them to see around the wall of Jericho. You can't put out a little thread and put it out the window and expect anybody in Israel to see it unless they had great binoculars. If you let out a scarlet rope and put it down the wall, then you could see where it's coming from. What's scarlet? Red. The covering that God was going to bring. Just speaking of the sacrifice of Jesus.